I'm headed to the river with that darling of mine. Won't that muddy water feel fine? We probably should be working, 'cause we've got bills to pay. But oh, these days are gonna slip away, slip away. Oh, these days are gonna slip away.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. April Virch singing Slip Away this morning, bringing us into this morning's interview with April Virch herself. Good morning, April.
Good morning, Robert.
And you brought your reluctant banjo player and bassist, Cody Walters.
He's not a reluctant banjo player. He's reluctant to talk after only one cup of coffee.
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And Clay Ross, the other member of your band, he's sleeping in today.
He ate way too much king crab last night, and he could barely walk when he went to bed, we let him sleep.
It's an occupational hazard when you yes. tour in Alaska. In case people haven't heard, April, you're going to be playing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Sitka Performing Arts Center, you and Cody and Clay.
That's right.
And that's it, just the three of you guys.
Yep, we're a trio.
A trio. And you're touring Southeast Alaska at the moment, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a little baby tour, but we hope it's our first of many. So we start here tonight, and then we play in Ketchikan. And then our last date is in Haines before we head to British Columbia.
Right. You've probably been asked this a lot. I'll just throw it out there. It's probably the dumb question of the day. But April, are you a fiddling dancer or a dancing fiddler? Or
I don't get that question that often, actually.
Really?
Well, that's a hard one to answer because the two really go hand in hand for me. I did start step dancing first. I started when I was 3. I have an older sister that was taking lessons, and I did it just because I had to do everything she did.
Right.
You know, looking up to her. And that's what led me to fiddle. But, you know, I think growing up, I was always dancing, but I got really passionate about the fiddle, and then maybe I became more of a fiddle player that danced as a bonus, you know, and definitely now during our shows, there's both, but the fiddle is a bigger part of the show, mostly just because I can't dance for 2 hours. I'm not in that good a shape.
but maybe you're really a singer. Moonlighting is both those things.
No, that I would definitely say is not the case. It's the newest thing, and, you know, I definitely see myself as a fiddle player before a singer.
Okay, but yeah. you've brought Cody and Clay into your band,
yeah.
and I watched you guys, your YouTube videos from when you were playing in Tulsa, Oklahoma last year, and the vocal sound you guys are getting at is really pretty good.
Thanks.
It's nice.
Yeah, we're enjoying it, you know. I think being an instrumental artist for quite a while, adding vocals really opens things up with lyrics, and it's one thing to always be communicating with your instrument, but to actually have stories and songs, and it's just another avenue, and it's kind of fun.
All right. Cody, what were you doing before you got brought into the April Virch band? Where did you, where have you been singing and playing?
I was playing bluegrass with a band in Montana, and I did that for a few years before I joined April's band. So in that band, I kind of held the same role as like a harmony singer, singing the higher male parts. So,
right, and I noticed that you kind of carry on a percussive job too with your bass. You're kind of sometimes you're playing it, sometimes
I slap it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out more about that tonight.
Yes.
April, I wanted to ask you. I went to the fiddle workshop last night, and it was interesting. You know, we're all kind of nervous. It's like, here's April Virch.
Sounded great.
But, you know, when you started out talking to us, you didn't say, you know, here's how to play like me. You started talking about Canadian fiddle traditions, and you seem to have, you know, a library in your head of all the different Canadian fiddle styles. And is that... how did you come by this kind of encyclopedic knowledge of the different styles of Canadian
music? Wow, I'm flattered.
Or at least a working knowledge of it.
um, Well, you know, I guess growing up in the Ottawa Valley, I learned that fiddle style, and that's mostly what I concentrated on. And I started playing so young that I didn't really look beyond that much at first. And then when I started to travel, and I attended some fiddle camps in Western Canada where there were fiddlers from different areas, I just was really fascinated by the fact that these were people that, you know, didn't live that far from me, and it sounded totally different. And to kind of learn why that was and what made it sound different, I was just drawn to that end of it. And then when I started teaching myself, and especially when I started touring in the States and teaching down here, I got a lot of the time, oh, you're from Canada and you're playing the fiddle, so you play Celtic music. And I thought it was interesting how everybody automatically assumed that. And I decided to, you know, make it my mission to make sure that people knew, you know, that we had all these different regional styles, and if people are interested in that, that I wanted to share that. You know, it's really important to me.
Yeah, I was thinking about it last night after the workshop, you know, what it's like to kind of convey that message of the regional variations in music. And I was looking for an easy analogy for our audience here, and it's like beer. You know, there used to be sort of a regional flavor, all these different kinds of beers, and then the big national brands sort of got in place, and suddenly that was what everybody thought beer was. And you were talking about how television mm-hmm. and the ability, you know, for these big TV shows in Canada to kind of, I don't know, redirect
yeah.
people's feeling for
that's
what
really good. Can I use that?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's really accurate. That's yeah. exactly what happened.
Yeah, I figured a beer analogy is going to work here and in Canada too. So anyway, but speaking of television, I guess you had a large audience recently at the Vancouver Olympics.
Yeah, a few people.
Yeah, something like 33 million people watching the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers thrown around, but it's more than I've ever right. played in front of, that's for sure.
And you had to keep it all under your hat until yeah. the event.
That's right, yeah. Initially, we were told that we'd be able to let it out of the bag, you know, mm-hmm. A little bit before, but that kept changing until they said, nope, not until you're done.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering what it was like playing in that kind of venue, because we've been talking about YouTube. You can see you play in these little, you know, the cook shack and tiny
right.
little places, and there you are in that huge arena. I mean, how was it? Was it just kind of a staged television event, or did you actually feel that you were somehow connecting with that
huge audience? You definitely felt like, you know, the people that worked on the ceremonies became good friends, you know, and everybody was approaching it from a place where you were part of something very special, and everybody made sure you knew that, and everyone really felt like a team. You know, it didn't really matter what part you played in it. The objective was just to put on a show that would, you know, let the world know what Canada was like. And really be entertaining. And, you know, everyone was really positive all the time. It didn't matter what happened, what went wrong. You know, people were really amazing. So, yeah, you definitely got a sense of how special it was and important it was, you know. And definitely for me to be representing the Ottawa Valley, like we talked about last night, there's so many fiddle styles. And there were only five fiddlers. You know, and to be there representing, you know, my little area, I mean, I just couldn't believe that we were included in that. And also that the fiddle was included. You mm-hmm. know, it's really an important tradition, but it gets overlooked a lot at home when we have really big events like that, you know, and the way that they portrayed it and the way they made sure that they had every little thing covered or tried to, you know, mm-hmm. the best they could in a short time. It was really special. I kept thinking about all the people that I, you know, my dad would play me records of all the fiddlers that came before me, and I kept thinking how proud they would be and how you know, it felt like a little bit of pressure, you know, mm-hmm. in a way that we get that message across and do it the right way.
The pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, anyway, it was quite the spectacle. I mean, quite the fiddling event. You mentioned that sometimes fiddling does get overlooked. I wanted to ask you about when you went to college, the Berklee College of Music, what was it like to be a fiddler at that, you know, that that big music school in Boston, you know, where classical pianists go? And I mean, did you feel like you were, like there was a track for the Ottawa fiddle there?
Well, the chair of the string department at Berklee is Matt Glazer, and he's a renowned jazz violinist and a wonderful teacher. And I met him at some of Mark O'Connor's fiddle camps when I was a student there. So I knew him, and I knew I wanted to learn more and attend college for music. And I had a few options. You know, I could go and continue playing violin and do fiddle on the side, which wasn't my, you know, my first choice. And there's a really good jazz music program in Montreal, in McGill. And that was another option. But Berklee, I kind of had some friends from camp as well that were going there. And they were in the string department, and it was really small. Like, there were, like, 15, 20 people. And that's including all, you know, that's cello and viola and violin. Mm-hmm. So it's tiny. And I also talked to Matt because I knew him. And I knew that it wouldn't be a situation where they were trying to form you into being one thing or the other. You know, Matt's vision is just to help you do whatever you want to do and make your own sound, and however they can help you do that, that's kind of how they approached it. And it's grown a lot since then. Now they have a roots music program. They have other instruments included. Like Cody was saying before we went on air, there's mandolin and banjo.
So it's at Berklee, they've actually sort of broken out since you've been there, they've actually broken out into this roots music program too.
Yeah, so, you know, it's official now. I think it just started happening because more and more roots musicians started going there, and it just made sense to make it official.
All right. Well, we've got to go. I guess Lon is going to be taking you guys around today. Are you going to try and see more whales today, Cody? What's the plan?
I'm not exactly sure what the plan is for today, but I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
Rest up for the show tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard to do.
We look forward to it. April Virch, thanks so much for coming in this morning, and we look forward to the show tonight. Cody Walters, the banjo and bassist, thanks for having that cup of coffee and coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Helping out. You guys can both go get Clay up now and tell him what he missed.
We will.
All right.
Thanks,
Robert. We'll go out with more of the same music that we came in on. This is April Virch. April Virch and her band play tonight at 7 o'clock at the Sitka Performing Arts Center. Tickets are on sale at Old Harbor Books and Silver Basin. If you want to buy tickets at the door, they're going to be $5 more.
Oh, these days are going to slip away.